sub-126, so I think that whatever other applications this may have had, it was rewritten and reapplied under inspiration to the exiles. This is the voice of God to the exiles, and it is the voice of a faithful minority in exile, perhaps those who followed the teaching of Ezekiel, who went into exile in Babylon and was the faithful prophet of God there, despite the majority of the exiles hating him and, according to Jewish tradition, later killing him. So, restore verse 4, restore our fortunes again. This is the word for return. The idea is return us from here back to our land. Restore our fortunes again, Yahweh, like the streams in the Negev. I think the idea is that there were streams that appeared suddenly in the dry riverbeds. They would run in one direction in the sand, but just as easily run in the opposite direction a short time later. And so the psalmist is praying that the path of Judah into exile be reversed. And they went into captivity along the banks of the rivers, Euphrates and Tigris, and he's saying, take us back the way that we came. Just like the streams in the Negev suddenly can reverse and run the opposite direction in the sand. And of course, that is what happened in the decree of Cyrus. Go back and all the resources you need, I'll give you. But my point is that the majority of God's people in exile did not return. There's a lot of research been done on the numbers of exiles, the number or the size of the community in exile. Don't forget, in Esther's time, they were spread over 127 provinces of the empire, and the command to kill the Jews was given in all those different languages. There was a lot of them, and yet only a tiny minority, according to the records you have in Ezra and Nehemiah, only a tiny minority returned. Yes, their fortunes were restored by God, like the streams in the Negev. It was all turned the other way, but they didn't want to know. Verse 5, those who sow in tears will reap in joy. Well, I think the sowing in tears was when the exiles went into captivity. It says verse 6, those who go out weeping will certainly come again. Well, they went out from Judah and Jerusalem into captivity. But that exile was to be a sowing, and it was going to rise up in the joy of harvest at the restoration. That was the prophetic intention. And yet, this would only happen, Hosea 10 verse 12 uses the same word, if Judah sowed in righteousness, and then they would reap mercy. But they didn't want to know. They didn't repent. They, according to Ezekiel, they blamed what was happening on them, on an unjust God, and on the sins of their fathers. They did not repent, and most of them did not want to return. Verse 6, he who goes out weeping, carrying seed for sowing, will certainly come again with joy carrying his sheaves. Well, in the next psalm, 127 verse 5, happy is the man that has his quiver full of children. And I think the idea is then that the sheaves that are to come back from the sowing are the children, the reborn children of Zion, the little children that were, as it were, carried into captivity with a seed for sowing, and they or their children were to return like the sheaves of harvest. So the intention was that they were there for 70 years in Babylon, and after that there would be repentance and the people would return, and the Lord would bring again the exiles to Zion. That's the clear teaching here in Psalm 126. And yet that didn't happen, because they didn't want it to happen. They preferred the soft life in Babylon and Persia. The Persian records actually record that a number of Jews went to do a kind of pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and then they came back. This is not at all what is in view here. Jeremiah 24 talks about the good figs. Those who went to Babylon became good figs and came back and were restored to the temple. That was the prophetic intention, but it didn't happen. Micah speaks of the same process. Zion was to be ploughed and Jerusalem become heaps. This is talking, in my opinion, about the Babylonian destruction of Jerusalem. And then afterwards, the temple was to be rebuilt. The house of the Lord will be established in the top of the mountains. But it didn't happen. in the way and to the extent that was intended. They were given the blueprint for building the temple in Ezekiel 40 to 48, and they didn't do that. That was the law of the house in Ezekiel 43. But they didn't obey it. That's why when they built some kind of temple, some of the people wept. When they thought, I guess, of these prophecies, of what was intended to be. So in that day will I assemble her who limps like Jacob. This is Micah 4. And I will gather her that has been driven away, and I will make her that was cast off a strong nation, and Yahweh will reign over them in Mount Zion forever. The kingdom will come to the daughter of Jerusalem. You will come, Micah 4 verse 10, you'll go forth out of the city of Jerusalem, and you will come even to Babylon. There you shall be delivered, or rescued, the RV says. There shall the Lord redeem you. Well, they did go out of the city of Jerusalem. They did come even to Babylon, but they were not brought to the birth there in Babylon spiritually. They just assimilated. Look at the book of Esther. That's assimilation. The Jews are wealthy. Haman wants to kill them all so he can get a huge amount of money for the Jews, for the government, if he expropriates all the dead people's property. Esther was a Jewess, but hardly a practicing one. She drank the king's wine, ate his food, wanted to be the queen, unlike Daniel, who wouldn't eat the king's food or drink his wine and fades from prominence every time he's given a promotion in the kingdom. Mordecai, Marduk, that's the basis of the name Mordecai, pushing his relative Esther to get up there in power, maintaining a cultural form of Judaism, but certainly denying the power thereof. So what a tragedy. All these prophecies will come true, but in a reapplied and rescheduled sense. So it was a redemption that was refused. It was a potential of being in the kingdom in some form that they refused. And so this unfortunately goes on in the lives of millions of people, probably billions, whereby God offers people a potential pathway to his kingdom, but they don't want it. Because the here and now, the soft life as it's perceived, is so much more attractive. Now the kingdom will be restored when Jesus returns. This is what the angels basically said to the disciples as they were asking, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And, you know, Jesus said, it's not for you to know those times and seasons, but surely there will come the time of restoration. So this, unfortunately, goes on in human lives all the time, and it goes on in our lives. You may think that, well, surely not, but it is. Now, you stand on the street, okay, and hand out New Testaments. I'd done this, I don't know how many, hundreds of thousands we must have distributed in Carelinks over the years to folks. I don't believe that it's just random chance, any of those people that got it. Some of them may already be acceptable Christians, I accept that. The vast majority of the people who are, I think we put that New Testament into their hands, we're secular people, we're not believers. And where are they? Was that chance? I can't believe that was chance. I believe that God set up for all those people the potential to be in his kingdom, but for whatever reason, they didn't want it. And so this tragedy is going on all the time. And I think, therefore, without being unduly self-congratulatory, I think we who have said yes, we who in all our weakness have responded, I think God must be thrilled and have a special interest that, down there, yep, that one, the one with glasses, who lives on the Zhirmono Prospekt or whatever, that one who lives on, you know, 22 Acacia Avenue, whatever it is, that one, yes. Okay, that one's saying yes. Oh, great. Well, let's make a special beeline to, you know, keep working with him, keep working with her, bring her through.